Hi, and welcome to the Overflow Podcast. I'm Chuck Ammons, lead pastor of Overflow Church in Brandon, Florida, and we are here to help you receive the Father's love and to release it to everyone you encounter, everywhere. Wherever you're listening from today, your God adores you. I pray this message elevates and ignites your faith. On this podcast, you will find biblical messages to activate your faith so you experience the goodness of God and the greatness of your unique voice in His kingdom. To find out more about Overflow Church, visit us at overflowchurch.com or on Facebook at Overflow Church Brandon. We'd also love to encourage you to check out our book, Life in the Overflow, and its accompanying devotional on Amazon.com.
All right. Well, it is great to be home. Man, we have so much goodness to share today. I've got to start off, though, and say, fine arts, two of my favorite words. Come on! Come on! 52 top 10 placements in the state of Florida, 24 top 3 placements, and 5 from our church representing number 1 in the state of Florida. Now, I got to tell you in that, I rejoice a whole ton, but fine arts, I am most proud of the fact that your art comes from adoration. If you want to know the definition of an anointing, right? We talk about the anointing. What does it mean for the Holy Spirit to come and fully fill you? I'd say when your art comes from adoration for Jesus, which is where you are, then you're operating in the anointing, and you are one anointed bunch. And so we were crying a whole lot of tears in South Africa, John and I. It was very difficult for us to not be with you, but I am thrilled to say I can't wait to be with you for Nationals. We're going to have a blast. So we celebrate you guys this morning. We have more reason to celebrate today. My oldest son, Bradley, just graduated college on Friday. So I think we got a picture up here of Bradley. There he is at 19 years old. He's a genius. And he graduated cum laude from Southeastern with a Bachelor's of Science in Organizational Leadership. He was a resident advisor and a leader on his campus, and he is not just done with college, but he has said that he is coming back to his home church to Overflow to serve. So we're ready to receive Bradley back at home, so you'll see him coming around here. We have more reason to celebrate. Can we celebrate a little bit more? Yeah. Listen, you heard it in one of the news flashes, but we got to stop for just a minute. Our brother Ephraim Sotomayor. Now, I want you to know, for those of you who don't know, Ephraim has been a longtime member and leader of our church. And for the last decade, a decade ago, he had a heart attack that was really life-threatening at every level. And for the last 10 years, we have stood and we have prayed and we have trusted the Lord and we have asked and we have cried and we have interceded. And this week, Ephraim, who already has a new heart with Jesus, received an entirely new heart. And I got to tell you, I had the opportunity to talk with Ephraim on the phone yesterday and to have this friend that you've had for many years and to hear something in his voice that you didn't know. You didn't know you missed until you heard it back again. Yeah. This vibrance and this strength. He said, they got me walking the floor. And the day that I talked to him yesterday, he said, the first day I walked the floor, I walked one lap around the floor, which was a big deal. And he said, so the second day I wanted to walk two laps, but I got done with two laps, and I was like, no, we're still going. Like, I still got this. And he kept going. He said, I walked 7 laps before they said, you have to go back to your bed. He said, all I kept thinking was Jericho March. Walls are about to fall in this place. And I was like, thank you, Jesus. So Ephraim is recovering. I got a chance to talk with Laura. Please continue to pray for them. All of the reports have been amazing, but it's an incredibly painful process, and there are benchmarks that he's got to be able to walk through. So he's got a real road ahead of him. So we want to rejoice, but we want to continue to intercede all the way. He told me he can't wait till he's sitting back behind a drum set, and we can't wait either. So, man, that's good. We have more reason to celebrate. You want more?
Yeah.
All right, 2 weeks ago, you sent me and Pastor Lynn and John to South Africa with a very specific mission from the Father. And so I'm overjoyed to share with you today all that God has done. So I want you to join me right now. Put your hand on your heart. Say, Jesus,
Jesus.
I'm expectant.
I want you to speak to me.
I'm ready for you to lead me. And I will go wherever you send me. Amen. So on our trip to South Africa, we had 6 tasks. And so what I want to do is I want to give you an overview of where we went, and then I'm going to bring up my co-missionaries and share a little bit of the journey of what we feel like God has told us to do back here at home. We had six tasks on this missionary journey. Task number one, we were to go and to teach 25 teenage and adult students at a discipleship school at Africa for Jesus. We have so many missions partners that they all have names that mix. At Africa for Jesus in Kimberley, South Africa. Now, when we say teenage students, I want you to understand that the past where these students have come from, they've come from some of the most broken places, and the amount of life experience, it was a room full of adults. And so you could see us there with the kids. And there was this massive undertaking that has been going on for over a year. This discipleship resource called The Path, you can see it here in my hands, is a pretty massive resource. There are over 62 subjects, 30 contributors in this book. Pastor Aaron and I had a joy of being able to contribute to this book here. And then we went, and so all of this was looking at a seventh grade level to be able to take a discipleship resource that could take the nation of Africa, take the entire continent for Jesus. And I got to tell you, the amazing thing about this, there's three books here, one on discipleship, one on missions, and one on ministry. And it's an incredible resource. But the most incredible thing I can tell you is these people actually live in a relational context with each other. So these students that you can see that are present, they actually live together in immersive schools. They live in community. They cook all their meals together. They care for the grounds. All of the buildings that you're going to see in our video in a minute, they have built by hand, laid every brick. The students have built the complex that they live in. And it's amazing because this is a group of people we watch who grow together, who serve together, and go on mission together. Because when they're going, they're not just spending their time in a book. They're asking for the Word of God to get in them, and everything they receive, they release. So we spent some time pouring into them, and when we were done pouring into them, they went out to the unreached peoples around them to pour out everything that God was saying to them. On the grounds at Africa for Jesus, they have a place called Grace Haven. It's a home for young girls, young orphaned girls that have come from some of the most heartbreaking and traumatic backgrounds that you can imagine, and they brought them in, and not only have they brought them into that community, but these students that you see here spend their time pouring the love of Jesus into them right in community. The path, this resource, when we went, we were a part of what we thought was going to be going to three places in Africa, but God kept stirring, the Holy Spirit kept moving, and so while we were there, you see this is just one school that we're at, the path went to 14 countries in Africa while we were there. And so 14 different countries represented, 19 missionaries that had come forward. We got to be three that were on that team. That was our first experience there. The second thing God called us to do was to build deeper roots and discern next steps in our partnership with Africa for Jesus and call to Africa. And I got to tell you, the vision that they have to reach a nation, it all started with a man and a woman, a husband and a wife, under a tree in a field where God said, there's something that I want. And they just continued to say, yes, Jesus. And God has been spreading. So there's the man, Pastor Andre. Andre, who leads, is just an incredible man. Andre and Andriette, I thought that was the cutest names in the world for a married couple. We got to spend time with them, and just incredible. The students that go to this school have come from some of the most terrible trauma you could imagine. Some of them have been through abuse. There was a young man that I personally ministered to that when they found him, he was literally living amongst the trash in the street, eating out of the trash, and God has taken him and just turned his life around. They bring them from the streets of Africa into a completely tuition-free home and school and environment where they can show them the love of Jesus, where they educate them, where they restore them, where they disciple them, where they teach them life skills, and then they send them to be lifestyle missionaries anywhere they could go. So a number of people in this Africa for Jesus school, they graduate the school yearly. They'll send graduates out, but some of them actually stay, and right there on their grounds, they've got this massive hundreds and hundreds of acres farm, and they actually have several businesses that have raised up right there, one building furniture, one who's actually builder of buildings, and they live right there in the midst of the compound. It's incredible to see. The third step that we had, third mission, was to reconnect with our beloved Pastor Praise and to strengthen her in the ministry ahead. I will never forget arriving in Johannesburg and seeing Pastor Praise, who we have not been able to see for some time, embrace her spiritual father, Pastor Lynn. And so I want you to know, Pastor Praise and Pastor Wilson, we've walked with this mission in Nigeria for over 20 years. The first time we were ever able to actually go and spend time with them face-to-face was 2019. And in 2019, me and my wife Jill and Pastor Aaron and Pastor Mickey, the four of us went down together, and we visited 14 of the 17 village tribes that were right there. And we had a plan to come back in 2021. As you know, 2020 changed the world. Global pandemic came. In the midst of that time, Pastor Wilson passed, and the borders for Nigeria were closed for us to not be able to come in. And so we've waited since 2019 in the midst of this tragedy of our dear brother passing, and Praise taking over not only her husband's ministry with her, but all of these 17 villages. We've wanted to be back together, and we couldn't get into Nigeria, but God opened a door for Praise to come to us. And so I got to tell you, I loved sitting with my sister Praise. We can't wait till she could be back with us here in the States. But I got to sit with her, and I watched a moment where she could just honestly grieve the passing of our dear friend and her husband. And we just sat at the table for some time as we looked through pictures of the journey of their family together and their ministry together. And we laughed and we cried. Pastor Len and I all got opportunities because Praise loves her phone. And man, she's quicker than anybody on the planet to video call a friend or a family member. And so we got to talk to all of her kids, which was so amazing, and to be with her. And on her last day she was with us, she beamed and she said, "I'm just so happy, because it's such an amazing thing to just be in a room full of people that I know love me and that I know are for me." And so I got to tell you, Pastor Praise watches every service that we have right now. I'm willing to bet Pastor Praise is with us. So if you could turn right back to our cameras here and just wave at her, okay? And say, "We love you, Praise," on three. You ready? 1, 2, 3. We love you, Praise. Yeah, so good. So good. You didn't know this was an interactive church service this morning. You did so good on your part. The fourth mission we had in going to South Africa was to assess a partnership between Pastor Praise and Africa for Jesus, because what they're wanting to do is to actually establish a Nigerian base to disciple in Nigeria. And this is what's incredible. All these nations they're getting to, as we've talked to Africa for Jesus, there's one they couldn't get into. They could not get into Nigeria. They said, "We've got roads everywhere, but we can't find a road to Nigeria." And God in his providence brought Pastor Praise as a student to the school. We spent immersive days together in Andre and Andriette's house. And after a long time of talking and dreaming and asking questions and seeking, it is my joy to tell you today that Andre and Africa for Jesus are eager to take the path to Nigeria. And they're praying to do that through Overflow Church and through High Impact. And so we're looking now at the opportunity to be able to see this discipleship come into the 17 villages, but beyond that, for discipleship to spread through Nigeria. Who can do that but our God? Isn't that incredible? But wait, there's more. The fifth mission that we had. The fifth mission was to make contact and to discern future mission opportunities to take the gospel to 50 unreached villages in the country of Lesotho. And so now to get to Lesotho, we went to Johannesburg. From Johannesburg, we took a flight to Kimberley. From Kimberley, we took a drive down the longest dirt road I've ever been on in my life to get to the farm and the base in Kimberley. And then from there, it was a six-hour trek to the landlocked mountain country of Lesotho. And when we got to Lesotho, we went to the base camp. You can see there in this picture here on the far, which side are you on? The far right, you see Peter and Kayla here on the end. Peter and Kayla lead the base camp in Lesotho. And so what they actually do, these villages, these 50 villages of people that are entirely unreached for the gospel, they range from 10 people to 250 people in a village. And so what they do is this. They send small teams up a steep and demanding journey up the mountain to be able to go and share the gospel with the people. Now, the people here in Lesotho are very strong in witchcraft and ancestral worship. And their ancestral worship is so strong that even in Lesotho, in their churches in the country of Lesotho, they will finish their church service in the morning talking about the name of Jesus and the greatness of God, and then go worship and offer sacrifices to their ancestors after. That's how deeply steeped this is. We heard heartbreaking stories from Peter and Kayla about how up in the mountains of Lesotho, they have these initiation schools for young boys that when they're coming of age, that they take these boys to a super secret initiation school where they're never able to talk about what happened. And all Peter and Kayla can tell us is they watch these beautiful boys filled with wonder go up the mountain and never come back the same way. And so they're eager to take the gospel, to show another way of Jesus. And Peter said this is the way they do it. They take this trek up there, and it's a difficult trek. They need mostly younger people who are very fit, or Jonathan Hathorne, who can run 157 miles straight up the mountain. They need people that are very fit to go. And what they do is they take them an iPad that shows them the Jesus film in their own language. Many of these people have not seen technology this way, and they rush around it, and they say for any who are willing to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, they will come back repeatedly to disciple them. And then what they're looking for is just one person, just one in that village that gets sold out for the gospel. They said, if we get that one person, we will teach them how to lead their entire village to Jesus Christ. And one at a time, we're going to take these 50 villages. And when we went, they said, what we want is we want more teams from Overflow Church to come and join us in the work in Lesotho because the harvest is plentiful. The sixth and final task that we had, my favorite task, it's a task that we have every day. It's this, to be sensitive to the moments the Holy Spirit would invite us to minister relationally. And of course, we had a lot of those. The very first one we got coming in, it's normally very calm weather in Africa. The day before we went to the base camp in Kimberley, they had a hailstorm that was crazy. Like just, you know, hail coming down, and it put lots of holes in their roof. And so what was hilarious is most of the trips, John has gone on a number of trips to Africa with Call for Africa, and many of those trips have been building trips. And so even though John is the lightest packer I've ever seen, John showed up like with a duffel bag, and Lynn and I are like two suitcases coming behind. But John came, and even in there, he brought some stuff ready, trusting that the Lord would open up. So you could see John's with a crew up on the roof. They spent some time repairing the roof and getting that all together. We got the opportunity the first night there. They were like, hey, I heard you say that you play piano. We have this great keyboard, but nobody knows how to play it. Would you lead us in worship? And I was like, lead in worship in an open-air chapel in Africa? Yes, please. So that was incredible. And then what we watched was Pastor Lynn walk in deep restoration. We got so many opportunities to pray for people. And every time I turned around, Pastor Lynn was leading somebody through restoration. Like the dog got restored was how amazing it was everywhere we went. Like every time. You can see there, that's Pastor Lynn with a dear friend of ours we're going to talk about in a minute, Pastor Charles, who just so happened to be there. Met him for the first time. And this is Lynn praying after he led him through restoration in a way that he said absolutely transformed his life right before he was going back to the mission field. And so in all of that, when we went to Africa, I heard this verse from the Lord that I believe would frame well what we want to talk about as far as what do we take from that today. It's in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, and it says this. It says, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. The Holy Spirit will come, and the Holy Spirit will indwell you, and the Holy Spirit will indwell me, and he'll do two things. He'll teach us all things we haven't known. Is that good news? Yes. We learn things from the heart of the Father that are life-transforming, but it doesn't stop there. He'll also remind you all the things that you once learned, but in the tyranny of the urgent, you've forgotten. He'll teach you all things, and he'll remind you all things. And I got to tell you, coming back from Africa, and this is going to be a theme we're going to walk forward the next months, there are three truths that I believe the Lord wants to remind us again boldly, and they're this. Love is slow, God is faithful, and the harvest is plentiful. Love is slow, God is faithful, and the harvest is plentiful. In just a minute, I'm going to invite up my co-missionaries as we're going to talk about how God taught us and really give a charge back to us. But first, if you could, take a look at your screens, and you'll see a little overview of our trip to South Africa.
As long as I'm breathing, I got a reason to praise
the Lord, oh my soul.
Thank you, sir.
I count on one thing. The same God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out. Yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Oh, yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Oh, yes, I will. God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out.
If you could welcome up with me John Ward and Pastor Lynn. All right, guys. So I wanted to take an opportunity, and any of you, just real quick, so you're going to hear something before we're done today, and this is, I'm going to give you my little disclaimer about missions, okay? Because sometimes we get attitudes about missions that'll say, if you haven't gone somewhere for missions, I want to say the gospel is for everyone, everywhere, all the time. We should be living as lifestyle missionaries, amen?
Amen.
So every moment is living on mission. That said, the gospel is needed in our own hometown, and it's needed to the ends of the earth. So if you ask my attitude, because some people say, what's your attitude? Are you one of those people for foreign missions or not? I'm like, I'm for all of it. I'm for to the end of the earth. Yeah. So I believe we need to be missionaries here, and I believe we need to be missionaries everybody, everywhere God's going to send us. So real quick, how many of you are living as missionaries here at home? I'm hoping to see every hand. All right. How many people have been on a short-term mission trip somewhere outside of your own context? Super cool. Okay, so if you've ever been on a mission trip outside of your context, you know that if you've been, we went for 11 days. To go for 11 days and have somebody say, how was your trip? It's almost anxiety-inducing.
Yes.
Because you're like, how in the world? Like, because you might just be asking, how are you? And you just want to hear good. And the minute I start to open my mouth, you're like, I was not expecting all of that. Right? Or you want to know the fullness of the power and tell me all the testimonies. It's like, how do we tell you 11 days of testimonies in 20 minutes?
Yeah.
So I wanted to give you a context out front. That was why I wanted to show you 30,000 foot. And then we want to share some stories of where we were going. And we want to put it in three big lessons. And I just want to encourage you, there are so many testimonies, we're just scratching the surface of what we can share today. But the three lessons that we learned were this. The first lesson was that love is slow. And I'll start it this way to say, for me, and I'm going to ask these guys their perspective, but for me, this is what I've been realizing for some months now. I have two problems, and I don't think I'm alone. I have a pace problem, and I have a gaze problem. I have a problem in where I spend my time, and often I have a problem in where I give my attention and my energy. That often in wanting to see the gospel go forward, I can focus a whole lot on a whole lot of problems, and then what gets left is just the delight of sitting before your Father where you can really be poured into. And this trip was so slow. Everything they did was relational. They said, we're just going to give you lots of time to just spend time with the students and spend time with one another and spend time with these other missionaries. And it was a little bit of a culture shock in a different way for me, because the Lord was saying, you need to slow down, because many times I find that I'm frantic and all I want is fruit. Can anybody relate with that? But the Bible already says that we already have all the fruit we need. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is the fruit of belonging to Him. So love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You already have all of those things if you're in Christ. It's the fruit of being His. However, the fruit is only accessed as you abide. It's only in resting. So for me, I learned a lot about slowing down. I would love to hear from you guys. How does slowing down on this trip give you a perspective of what really matters? And then how did God show up in a relationship as you slowed down? So John.
Yeah, so before I answer that, could we do an exercise? Okay. All right, everybody stand up. All right. If you're able, try to touch your toes or just touch the back bottom of the back of the chair in front of you. Okay. Yep, that's good. Maybe some of these arm stretch things. Oh, yeah, that's good. Okay. Maybe just, roll your neck a little bit. Okay. Oh, that's great. Yeah.
That's fully interactive. That's
you
twice
good?
Now.
We're good. Okay. All right, sit back down.
Thank you.
Now you guys are ready. Because what I learned about slowing down is just kind of a reinforcement of being flexible when the Holy Spirit is moving. I think on mission trips, and I've gone on a number of them. And early on when I first started going, I had this kind of hero complex where I'm going to go in and I'm going to change the world. And it never really works out that way. So I've learned over the years to slow down and to be flexible and kind of embrace an organized unpredictability. So on this trip, there was some structure. There was a certain time where somebody was walking around ringing a bell. It's time to wake up at 6 a.m. There was a breakfast at 8 a.m. There were communal meals. There were times where the students had chores they had to do. There were specific times where we had teaching opportunities, and for the students, their learning opportunities. But there were also these unpredictable things, like a freak hailstorm that they've never had in the history of Africa for Jesus, with, yes, golf ball size holes coming through the roof. So we had to get up there and fix it. They're like, John, go get up on the roof and fix that thing. Okay. I've never
We done were it. Prayer support for you, John.
Yeah, you notice Chuck took a picture from really far
yes,
away.
That's right.
And then impromptu sharing of a testimony. The first day we were there, they're like, oh, you guys are leading chapel. Okay. So being ready to share some things, on the move, on the fly, and just being receptive to those opportunities as they came up. And Chuck mentioned this gentleman, Pastor Charles, who just happened to be there. I'm honestly not even sure how he got there. He is from East London, not the UK, East London, South Africa, which is like down on the very tip. I think he said he was on a bus for like 12 hours to get to Africa for Jesus, just to sit in and experience the
classes,
the path,
that we lead. Yeah.
The discipleship activities. So sitting down with him and learning about his ministry, he's actually a missionary from Zambia to South Africa, working with the homeless and the jobless, and just being able to encourage him, and he encouraged me. Also, I was able to reconnect with my friend Regan, who I met in Uganda back in 2020 on my last mission trip to Africa. Just reconnecting with him and encouraging him. He's going through some struggles. And just recollecting on what God did on those past trips and dreaming and visioning ahead on what he might bring to us in the future. So slowing down, being flexible, being adaptable.
Yeah, so good.
So say, love is slow.
Love is slow.
So those of you know me know that slowing down and Len Harper is an oxymoron. I love to work, and when I'm not working, I am playing. Now, I don't like video games, social media, TV, entertainment, but I love to be on the move. I don't like to slow down. So when I heard about you guys going to Africa, I'm like, yeah, go. And then Erin Arruda was supposed to go, and she goes, Len, I think you should go. And I said, well, I don't think I should go. She goes, I think God is, she brought the God card. Watch out for people like that. She goes, I think God is telling you to go. Well, do you want to go, Erin? Yes, she said, I want to go. I said, well, then follow the desires of your heart, Erin. You go, because I don't want to go. But she kept pursuing. And I had been helping our EJAW pastors. We have 17 pastors, and there were some division among them. And so I've been working with them for about a week on the telephone, just trying to bring them back in unity again, bring them back under praise's covering. And I had a dream of me going to Africa, bringing restoration and unity to these pastors, going to the airport and flying back. So at this staff meeting, I said, I had a dream that God's going to restore the EJAW pastors, are going to come under praise's leadership, and everything's going to be great. And they go, Len, maybe God's telling you you're supposed to go to Africa. And I said, no, he was just telling me that God's going to restore the pastors. And they said, Brenda said, but Len, didn't you see yourself going into the airport and returning back to America? And I said, yeah, that was God telling me that was all done, everything was good. Don't ever interpret your own dreams. So I tell people all the time, the only people who don't know God's will are those who have one. If you don't have one, God's will is clear. But when you have one, it's the waters are mixed. And I had a will. I didn't want to go to Africa. So whenever my waters have been mixed, I always go to Robin. So I told Erin, I said, okay, Erin, I'll go to Robin. I'll ask her if I should go to Africa. So I said, Robin, Erin Arruda wants me to go to Africa. Do you think I should go? And it's sort of like that. She goes, Len, you should go. Because Erin wanted me to go to really restore praise and to pray over her, encourage her. And she goes, praise, you're her spiritual father. She needs you right now. She knew exactly. Robin, the Holy Spirit knew exactly how to touch my heart to give me the courage to go to Africa. Because slowing down and Len Harper just doesn't go well. I like to do things. I like lists. I like intentionality. And the grace of God was on my life the entire time I was there. Because one day for me was like 6 or 7 days in Africa. It was so absolutely slow. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't accomplish anything. All I could do was be with people. So God then began to make these relationships, these connections. The first one was to Pastor Charles, who had been kidnapped twice in South Africa. He had trauma all over him. And so I had spent time just bringing him through restoration, calling the spirit of trauma off of him, fear and anxiety. He was a different man. Yes. When he left. And when we were leaving to go to Lesotho, he's 57 years old. I'm 62. I know I don't look that old. Thank you. But he said, I have not had a father in my life like you since my father died. And I'm thinking, I hardly spent any time with this gentleman. So it was amazing. And then just praise So the last night before we came back, Praise said, "Len, will you pray over me?" And she had been asking us to ordain her, and I just wasn't sure about that. But the Lord told me to bring oil, so we ordain her, set her apart. If you can only imagine this. So here, her husband is the pastor. She is there to take care of the five children. They always had two disciples living with them. They were training them to be pastors. So she was the support. Her husband dies during COVID, 2020. All of a sudden now, she still has five children. She has to grieve for the loss of her best friend, her soulmate, her husband. And now she has to lead three schools and 17 churches. So she really never had an opportunity to grieve or to have someone just love on her. So when Robin said, "Len, you just need to go to Africa for any other reason, just love on your spiritual daughter." And so that's what I did.
It was amazing. So the first lesson we learned was that love must be slow. The second is that God is faithful. There's a promise in the Gospels where Jesus tells us that we're not going to have to worry about what to say, that he'll give us what we need to say in the very moment we need it if we'd only trust him. And it takes me back to a promise God gave me years ago. He said, "If you'll live your life at my feet, I'll make your life my sermon, and you'll never lack something to say." Amen. So God called us during this trip of a lot of slowing down because there was a lot of unpredictability. There was a lot of, "You're leading this now." There was a lot of, even with the discipleship school, where we read, we had no idea what the format would be. And we got there and they said, we were shocked. They said, "We trust the Holy Spirit in you. So not just these topics, but whatever else it is that's burning in your heart that you believe these students know." And this is what I found. This is a dynamic team, y'all. This man is one of the most dynamic leaders I've ever had the joy of going alongside and leading with. And what I watch, okay, and I told you, down here, my spiritual father, he can't help but father everyone that he meets, okay? That's the way it works. And this is what we saw. We saw this ministry of the love of the Father, of freedom through the Son, and life in the Holy Spirit that poured out everywhere we went. And so when they said, "We're going to give you lots of opportunities to share whatever you want to share," we were like, "Really? Okay." So I spent time talking about our new life in Christ and what's ours. Lynn spent time teaching people how to pray directly to the Holy Spirit and ask for his anointing. And they told us afterwards, they said, "These people have never prayed to the Holy Spirit before. They didn't realize that's something that you could actually have relationship and conversation." So he's teaching them about the anointing. And here's what's amazing. They spent time with John in worship, and they'd hear John get excited in worship and go, "Woo!" Okay? Pastor Lynn comes and tells them all about the Holy Spirit coming and how he wakes up in the morning going, "Good morning, Holy Spirit!" Last day we're there, I'm not kidding, separated by 45 minutes, I heard two different students on the property say, "Pastor Lynn's good morning, Holy Spirit," with John's "woo." It was the most amazing thing in the world. And so what I want to ask you guys is this. What are some tangible testimonies you saw where God just showed up and he was faithful in the moment? You didn't have a plan. You didn't know. You just obeyed what he said. But can you give us a testimony or two where God showed up and was faithful because you were willing to trust him?
Yeah, I think for mine, I mean, there are several, but one that really stood out for me was one of the chapters I was facilitating is on missions. Ironically, on a mission trip, facilitating a discussion on missions. I like object lessons. I like pictures and graphs and activities help me learn. So I wanted to try to incorporate that into the training sessions. And I really wanted to do something fun for missions because missions excites me. So the day before, as I'm studying the material, God just laid it on my heart to just do this thing. It sounds kind of crazy, but just do it. So I didn't know what to expect. And what we did was, we spent some time, invited the students to just pause and be quiet and listen to Holy Spirit. We invited Holy Spirit to just speak. What is your gospel? What is the thing? What is your good news? What is the thing that God wants you to share? And just listen. and we listened. And then I said, ask him, who does he want you to share that with? Where does he want you to go? Where does he want you to take that good news? And just listen. So we spent moments listening. And then each participant who was in the room had a piece of paper. I said, okay, write it down. Write your name, write your gospel, and who Holy Spirit wants you to share it with. And then we made paper airplanes. They were pretty excited about that. A couple of them threw them right away. I said, don't throw them yet. Wait. And we had everybody line up around the outside of the room. I said, this is what we're going to do. One, two, throw. We're going to throw it. And this is symbolizing this good news being sent to its destination. That Holy Spirit has just told you where it is. And we did that. And I said, don't pick them up. And you saw in the video, they just kind of flew all over the place. And so I said, pick one up that's close to you, but not your own. And then we went around the room and everybody read the gospel and where it was supposed to go. And then we returned the papers to the individuals, and then we prayed over them and just released. I released them through the Holy Spirit to go and take the next step to wherever it was. And I have the list here. I'm not going to read them all, but there were some that were specific people, specific family members. There were countries, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different countries represented in where God was taking this good news. High schools, communities, churches, women who've gone through sexual abuse, neighborhoods, to all the nations. Some didn't know, so they just said, to be determined. And that's okay, right? But God was faithful and activating, not only in me. He's like, do this thing with paper airplanes. I'm down with paper airplanes. That was fun. But it means something to the students, yes, as well, right? They won't forget that, right? So they now all have a piece of paper with their gospel, their good news, and where God wants them to take it someday down the road.
Yeah.
It might be today, it might be tomorrow, it might be 10 years from now, but they won't forget.
And what was amazing about that is John's at the end of this moment where he just heard from the Holy Spirit, and then he stepped up with such boldness when it was done. And he looked, he said, that was really cool, right? And they were like, yeah. And he said, I commission you in the name of the Lord to do exactly what he told you to do.
Yeah.
I commission you to go, and I believe you're going to take the gospel where he said you're going to take it. And it just something shifted. Just power in the room. It was so good.
Well, I have to paint a picture for you to really understand what happened. So we had to fly from Tampa to New York, which is 3 hours. You know, you're in the plane before, in the plane afterwards. Then we're to fly 16 hours from New York to Johannesburg. So we get in the plane, and me sitting an hour is a miracle. I mean, so we get in the plane. The plane is getting ready to take off, and I prayed for God's grace more times than I've ever had in my life. So we're in the runway, and the plane's not going. I'm wondering, what's going on? So they finally said, hey, there's something wrong with the plane. We need to go back.
Which is really reassuring right before a 16-hour. Yeah. Something's wrong with the plane.
Something's wrong with the plane. They tell us.
Thanks.
So they said, but don't get off the plane because the mechanic is coming to fix it. So that was another 3 to 4 hours. And then we had to fly 16 hours. We fly to Johannesburg. We need to fly another hour or so to Kimberley. And then from Kimberley, we're an hour away from a gas station, neighborhoods, Home Depot. I mean, we're in the middle of the Kalahari, where you see on National Geographic about where the lion, you know, all this wild animals. We're in the middle of nowhere in a compound where it's rustic living. And so I'm like, God, I need grace. I need grace. I'm going to be here for 11 days. So, and then we're to be teaching the first 4 hours. And wow, even me being in a teaching for 4 straight hours. So I said to Andre, I'm going to be teaching some of it, but not most of it. So can you like put me to work? Can you have me do something? I'll do anything. I don't have any skills, but I'll do anything. That's what I said to him. And so so the first day, because of the roof and everything that happened because of the hail, he had to go in town, which is an hour drive, most of it on a dirt road. If you ever watched Crocodile Dundee, remember there? It was like that. It was that picture in the middle of nowhere on this road. We had to go through water. I mean, it was the craziest thing to get back to Kimberly. And so he asked me the question. So what do you do in Florida? So I said, well, let me show you what I do rather than tell you what I do. So I said, in 1 Corinthians 4:15, the Apostle Paul said, you have had 10,000 teachers, but you have not had many fathers. I have become a father to you in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Therefore, imitate me. So I said, what I do is I spend time with lead pastors in my city that don't have spiritual fathers. Who pastors the pastor? So he goes, well, how do you do that? That's like a lost person asking an evangelist how to be saved. So I began to share with him the 4 truths of the restoration manual and the 4 steps. And he began to open his heart. I just met this man. He began to open his life to me, sharing things. And I don't know how many times people have said, I've never shared this with anyone before. And God just did such a restoration ministry on him that we never got to the materials. We never purchased the materials. He had to go back the next day. We were together like 4 or 5 hours. So that was one of those divine appointments where God was faithful. The other, now you have to get that being in the middle of the Kalahari was difficult for me. An hour from anything. Well, Lesotho is a little country in the middle of South Africa. That's like, they lived back in the time of Jesus. It was 6 hours to get there, but 2 hours was on a road that was worse than that road that you got in your mind for Crocodile Dundee. I mean, there were some potholes that dropped a foot. I mean, we couldn't go. I could walk faster than the car could drive, and I mean that. And the further we go, I'm like, Jesus, I need your grace. There's not going to be nothing here. So, and it was nothing there. I mean, it looked like Afghanistan. So we arrive, and we're at this compound that was more rustic than the compound that we stayed at in the Kalahari. And I'm just receiving grace. I did. I just received, you know, there's a grace for everything. And there's an anointing for everything if you're willing to receive it. And I was constantly under God's grace and anointing. I had his peace the whole time. So I'm in the middle of this compound in Lesotho, the top of this mountain, looking at beautiful vistas. And all of a sudden, I see all these, like, teenage girls from 18 to 20. I'm like, what? This doesn't fit, these girls being here. And so I asked a couple of them, I said, where are y'all from? One of them goes, I'm from Texas. No one's from Minnesota. Gotcha, you know, they had that. They were from, you betcha. And so I was like, what are y'all doing here? And there's this gap program where between high school and college, you go on mission for a year. So there's these 12 girls are here, and I started just talking to 2, and all of a sudden it was 4. And then 6, and then there's 8. And they're just asking me, what do I do? So I just began to minister to these girls, and I empowered them. And I share with them about our church, about we empower women in the fivefold ministry to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And we elevate the voice of women. And I told these girls, don't let anyone hush your voice. You be powerful. And I said to these young ladies, and you marry somebody who respects you and is not afraid of your anointing and who will lift it up. And I said, and make sure that you marry a fivefold man because he'll be jealous of your anointing if you don't. So, and then I prayed over them, and we just had a Holy Spirit encounter on the top of a mountain in the middle of nowhere, 6 hours from nothing. We're 1 hour from nothing in Africa. Now we're 6 hours from nothing. And if anything happened to us medically, we just went to heaven, which I guess isn't bad, right? Because there's no way anyone could get to us, either place. So.
Well, it was so amazing to watch the number of things that just so happened to be where we would show up. And I would tell you, I was shocked that that promise where God said, I'll give you exactly what to say, every time I opened my mouth, it was true. So the first night, we're giving our testimony, and I felt, I just need to share how God set me free from shame. And so I went through of how I always felt God was disappointed in me as father and told my story. And right after, there was a young lady, Talita, who you saw in the video here, who came to me and Pastor Lynn, and she said, your story is my story. And I just so desperately want what God did in your life for him to do in my life. And so Pastor Lynn and I, right there in this open-air chapel, laid our hands and cast shame off of her. And we got to watch this girl just beam. Next morning, I get up, and I'm sharing a testimony, and I feel called to just leave my notes for a minute and tell this really random testimony about God's goodness in the midst of heartbreak. And I share about my oldest sister's passing and how when my oldest sister passed, I didn't know whether she was a believer or not because she always said that she wasn't. But the Lord gave me this supernatural dream and said, I know who you are better than you know who you are. And so I told this story, and right afterwards, one of the ladies makes a beeline to me, and she said, you're not going to believe this. This is Wednesday morning. She said, Monday night, I was just at a funeral for a close family member. I'm in the exact same situation, and I've been kicking myself because I felt I did not share my testimony enough, and I've been asking the Father what he had to say to me about it. And you showed up this morning, and your story is my story, and I can receive the Father's grace now from where I'm going. Come the next day, and I feel led to just share about the Father's love and his adoration and his grace. And one of the leaders says, can I meet with you? I sit with her at a table outside, and there's this mom that is the most precious mom, but every time she'll open her mouth, she keeps saying things over herself that is not what the Father is saying. Just blame and shame and all these other things. And every time she'd say one, I'd just spin it around and say what the Father said, and I'd spin it around. Finally, she ran out. It was like Moses with the Father. She ran out of excuses. And she said, I don't know how you're doing this, but every time I say something about myself, about how I need to grow, you tell me how much the Father delights in me. And I said, it's because I'm hearing what he's saying to you, and I just want to ask that you would see it. And then I just looked right at her because she was telling me a little bit about her son. And I said, can I tell you, the Father says you're a good mom. And she just broke. And I watched God show up. Next morning, I come into class, and I'm giving the lesson, and I feel led to share a random testimony about how when I was young, I had almost given up on the gift of music and songwriting and preaching because the enemy had gotten so in my head that I was convinced that I talked too much and nobody wanted to hear my music. And I got done, and a student makes a beeline up to me, and he says, your story is my story. I'm not making this up. He said, I have been writing music here. I was one of those guys that came from the streets, eating out of the garbage, drug background, all of this. They brought me in here. I struggled. I went back out. I laid it all down. And now because of what you said, because of what God did in your life, he could do it in mine. Can I come to you at lunch and show you the music that I'm producing? And I was like, I would love to hear it. And so that young man is running and is calling. So God is faithful if we would just be still and let him speak. Which leads me to the final thing, and this is where we're going to kind of land this morning, is the final lesson that God wants for us is that the harvest is plentiful. Now, I shared this morning that Africa for Jesus was taking that to 14 countries while we were there. We saw the beauty of this home for young girls, the Nigerian mission, Lesotho. Beyond this, when we were there before we left, Andre said he desires for the restoration ministry that is here to come throughout Africa. He wants to see it spread more. He wants to see more teams come. He talked to me about it. I took some of my books and gave them away down there, and he actually chided me. I took 9 books, and he said, why didn't you have more faith? He said, because God gave me somebody to give each of those books. He said, I'll make you a deal. The next time you come, bring as many books as you can. And whatever you bring, I want to do 2 things. You have as much time as you need to teach what you want to teach, and I will make it required reading for the entire year for our discipleship school. That's just like God stirring and God moving and God going. And then they have these dreams. They have dreams for American missionaries, for some of us to be able to come there from 3 months to 3 years to what I would call Aunt Barb status. There's a lady named Aunt Barb. They call everybody aunt or uncle in their affection. Aunt Barb was a woman who, from Alabama, lost her husband 3 years ago. She had gotten a call from the Lord at 8 years old. She was going to go to Africa, and it never happened. 3 years ago, Aunt Barb is how old now? Do you remember? 72. 3 years ago, God said, it's time. She spends 50% of her life living. They actually built her a house on the complex. She spends half of her time there as a mother to these kids. And so he said, anywhere.
No electricity.
It's all solar, yeah. And so he said, listen, what we want is we see opportunities anywhere from somebody coming down for a week or a month or 3 months or 11 months or 3 years and being able to get their education to be trained as missionaries all the way to Aunt Barb status. And he kind of folded out to us and said, so as you guys pray and as we pray, our arms are as wide open as we can in partnership with you. I mean, that's our God. The harvest is plentiful. So this is the final question, and we're going to land this on an activation. So my question, John, I'll ask you, what's the biggest charge you feel God's saying to bring back to us here?
Yeah, I think if I put it in short terms, it's that missions is accessible to everyone. I was blessed with a love for travel and adventure from a very young age. My family traveled all the time. Sometimes I got sick of it because we traveled so much. It was always on my birthday for some reason. I'm like, can I just stay home and have a birthday party or something? But no, we were driving up volcanoes and doing crazy stuff. But that really instilled a sense of adventure in me, and I don't regret it. So going on mission trips is really exciting for me. And there's something transformative when you step out in faith to go somewhere new that you've never been before. And I know that's maybe not a common thing, and there's often fears about, you know, Africa's a long way away from here, especially South Africa. It's almost as far away as you can get on planet Earth. And there can be intimidating, and there are some fears that just that travel is something that we don't want to take on. Or it could be that maybe you think you don't have a message to share. You don't have anything that you can contribute to a mission trip. Those are two lies from the enemy. Okay? They're not true. You do have a gospel. Everyone here has a gospel. You have good news. And the travel is just not a big deal. This guy didn't want to go.
I really didn't want to go.
He really didn't want to go.
I did everything I could not to go.
And we got him back.
Yep.
100%. So the PATH curriculum that Pastor Chuck mentioned, it really demystifies being a missionary, I think.
Yeah.
Right? This is a discipleship curriculum. But what we did on this trip, all we were asked to do is literally read it. Right? It is written at a seventh grade level. It is designed to equip, to encourage, and to expand vision for pastors and students who want to go into the ministry. And all we have to do is read it.
Yeah.
And then we have the freedom to incorporate our gospel into it and share those impromptu testimonies or do fun paper airplane activations to help reinforce the material. My encouragement and my activation here is for everybody to really identify and refine what your gospel is and where God wants you to share it. It might be right here.
Come on.
Right? We started as a family going through this curriculum last night. That was my one big takeaway was the Holy Spirit said, do this with your family. You don't have to wait to go on the mission field to do it. Start now, right? I was never taught how to disciple. This is literally the path to discipleship. And I can do it with my family. I can teach my children to, one, be a disciple. And you're not a disciple until you make disciples.
Come on.
Right? So that's the next step. So I want to be a disciple, which means I have to make disciples. My children are the front lines of discipleship for me. They're my responsibility. So taking this now to them, and guess what? They're going to learn it, and then they can do it. And that's the whole goal. That's how you take the continent of Africa. That's the vision for Africa for Jesus and Call to Africa, is to build discipleship schools where pastors train pastors who then train other disciples who start their own schools. And it just multiplies and multiplies and multiplies and multiplies and multiplies. And you can start right now. But think about your gospel. What's your good news? And this will be available soon.
Yep.
Right? We have the first edition copies. They're making a second printing of it, and it will be available on Amazon. I don't know when, so don't ask me again. When it's available, we'll announce it. But get ready, because we can use this here.
Yeah.
We can use this on the mission field. It's accessible. It's easy. You have something to contribute.
Yes. And we see a lot more opportunities coming. So come on, listen, a lot of ridiculous goodness we've been sharing this morning. Can we thank the Lord for what he's doing in our midst? And with that, I want to ask you to stand with me. I want to ask you to stand, because what we want to do is close. Pastor Lynn and I have just a very brief activation. And so I'm just going to ask you to stand. And if you would lay your hand on your heart, I want to take a minute. Listen, you've heard about a trip that we took to Africa, but this is not a spectator sport. This is something the Lord wants for us right now, because he's called us to be lifestyle missionaries. So right now, with your hand on your heart, I just want to ask you three questions. First thing I said this morning is that love is slow. And so I want to ask you, where is God calling you to slow down? Where is it right now, if you're being honest, you would say, the pace of my life is frantic, and all I desperately want is fruit? And I think what happens is we get frantic because we're trying to produce fruit. We can't produce fruit. The Holy Spirit produces fruit. We can only abide in the vine. So my question is this, with your hand on your heart, where have you stopped abiding? Where have you been running and trying to align and trying to figure out, and God saying that what he wants is for you to stop and to abide? Where is it time to slow down? Now, tomorrow morning, last week, I gave a blog about God's charge to me to slow down. Tomorrow morning's blog that I'm sending out is actual practical counsel of how do you slow down, but I'm convinced it starts here. We've got to get rid of the excuses. We've got to stop saying, it's too complicated, you just don't understand my life, you don't understand everything that's going on. I believe God is good. And because he's good, he gives us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, because it's sufficient for what he has ahead. Where is God calling you to slow down? All I'm going to ask you to do in question one here is identify. Would you identify right now? And I'm going to ask you to just whisper it out before the Lord. This is where I need to slow down. I'll tell you, for me, the Lord said, I need to spend a whole lot more time with the people that matter most to me. It's a lot more time and just a gaze before Jesus, my eyes on him, with my bride, with my children, with those God has entrusted. Where's he calling you to slow down? The second question is this. Where is God calling you to trust him to be faithful? Come on, where is it in your life you've gotten complex and you have all your plans and you have all you're trying to figure out and all that you're worried about, and what he's saying is, hey, can you just breathe and trust again that I'll give you what to say when you need to say it, if you'd stop running and you'd stop figuring out and you stop planning and you stop having your answer preloaded? Would you just be present where you're present? Somebody is this simple this morning, hand on your heart, you just say this, God, I receive the anointing to be present where I'm present. God, I receive the anointing that if you're singing over me right now, I receive the anointing to see it, to feel it, to experience it. God, if it really is all about relationship, loving you with all of my heart, I receive the anointing to love you with all of my heart. If it's loving my neighbor as myself, I receive the anointing to slow down and see the people who matter. Listen, no shame on you in Jesus' name, only shame off of you. There's one word in the Bible, if we're missing it, it's the word repent. It's one of the most beautiful words in the world. All it means is you've been walking in one direction and you stop and you turn around. Not you fix it, not you make it right, not you figure it out. No, you turn around and he bridges the distance every time. If you're running frantic and you want fruit, where is he telling you to turn around? If your life is filled with chaos instead of delight, where would you just say, God, I want to delight in you again. I want the joy of the Lord to become my strength again. I receive your anointing. Third, final question is this. The harvest is plentiful.
Where is he wanting you to take the next step? I'm going to ask right now for the Holy Spirit to put somebody in your mind that needs your gaze, that needs your story, that needs your gospel, that needs your hope, that needs your patience, that needs your slowed pace to not rush past them, but to see them. For some of you, it's a parent seeing the eyes of your children right now. For some of you, it's a child seeing the eyes of your parents. For some of you, it's somebody at your workplace. Maybe it's somebody in this room. Maybe it's somebody you don't even know all that well, but they're around a place that you frequent, maybe that at a store you shop at. Would you right now just say this, hand on your heart, Holy Spirit, show me where you want me to go. Show me where you want the gospel to go next. And I'm asking, Lord, would you give a face? And I'm just going to ask this with your hand on your heart and your eyes closed, because I just want to seal it and pray for it. And Pastor Lynn's going to give us one final activation. If the Holy Spirit brought somebody to your mind, would you just lift up a hand? If the Holy Spirit brought somebody to your mind, and lift it boldly. Thank you, Lord. So I'm asking this right now for every single one of these. For every one of these, Father, would you give us the boldness to go? In the same words that my brother spoke, I commission you now in the name of the Lord with the anointing and the wisdom and the grace and the strength and the words and the compassion and the patience to go. And I ask for every hand that's lifted, Father, I believe every hand that's lifted represents a harvest that's coming. Every hand lifted represents a harvest that's coming. Father, we receive the harvest.